it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5. The game on this Thursday. We had Terry Crisp in the first hour. Great conversation with him. Elliot Freeman will be our weekly guest. He's been doing that all year long, every Thursday at 1 o'clock. So we'll talk to Elliot Freeman from Sportsnet. But right now we talk to Predators forward Austin Watson. Waddy, how you doing? Good morning.
Hey, good morning. What's going on, guys?
How you hanging in these quarantine times?
You know what? I'm doing all right. I think the longer it goes on, maybe the more normal it kind of becomes. Probably the first couple weeks, I was, I'm sure I was banging my head against the wall trying to figure out why I, you know, wanted to leave the house and wanted to do all sorts of things. But yeah, it's been going okay so far.
So what has been something new you've discovered in these unfamiliar times that you probably never did before, but you find yourself doing these days?
Is it
walks?
Something new. You know, I have allowed myself to, or I have allowed my daughter to paint my nails and do my hair, and I didn't know if I didn't know if I could bring myself to that level, but it quickly got there.
That escalated in a hurry, didn't it?
Oh yeah, it went right there, and you know, I had no defenses against it. We just went there, and you know what? It wasn't so bad.
Do you have pictures for proof, or no pictures allowed?
And I think I got a couple pictures, and then maybe you know, depending on, I might be able to get some, maybe $5 from you guys and send that on over. It might cost you a little bit.
Oh, we are willing to pony up for those pictures. You can make a little money during this time. So, you know, it's difficult because, Austin, your sport, you know, it's not like basketball players. You know, a lot of them probably have a goal at their house. They can go out and shoot around. I mean, you guys play a sport that, you know, requires a sheet of ice, and it's not like there's a rink in your all's backyard. So what do you do to try to, you know, during these times where you've shut everything down now for a couple of months, what do you try to do to kind of stay in shape in case there's a return here hopefully soon?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just overall fitness. Like you said, it's really, you know, it, depending on what your home looks like or what kind of different things you have, you know, I'm not one of those. I don't have a shooting room or anything like that. So I think overall it's just overall physical fitness, you know, just trying to stay with the cardio type stuff and maintain or improve on a little bit, kind of overall strength. You know, when hockey does come back, I feel like, you know, for us guys, we've been doing it for so long, it won't take all that long. It's kind of like riding a bike a little bit. You know, I might fall a couple times in those first few skates, but I'll figure out how to stop again pretty quick. So, you know, it's just, a lot of it right now is just trying to maintain that, you know, overall physical fitness and, you know, maybe improve on it a little bit.
We've had a couple people come on the show here lately and say that, you know, whether it was a teammate of yours and Craig Smith or Julie Turris, Kyle's wife, that said you guys were really coming together under new head coach John Hines, that everything felt good. You were going in the right direction with about a dozen games left in the regular season. Did you feel the same way when everything halted?
Yeah, I think things were going in the right direction. Obviously, we had, you know, with a new coach, it's going to take a little bit of time for things to settle in and kind of feel like normal. So I think, you know, as time went on, we were starting to get there, and we're playing better hockey and putting ourselves in a playoff position. So, you know, obviously, you want to be, you want to be trending the right way going into, you know, this time of year that it, you know, would have been the playoff push, so to speak, and toward the end of the season. So I think definitely we're going the right direction there. So obviously, you know, when you're talking about the COVID coronavirus, you're talking about a you know, something very very out of the ordinary, and there's, you know, there's not a whole lot you know, that could have been done about that. But you know, you can take a little bit of solace in the fact that we were playing better and getting into I feel like a little bit more normalcy with you know, some of the changes. So hopefully that can, you know, whenever we do get going, pick up right where we left off.
These unfamiliar times where we don't have any live sports to talk about, we really have had very little live stuff to talk about. Any new news nugget is something that, you know, is always welcomed on the show. But what it's allowed us to do, Austin, is to really have to sit back when everybody's life has slowed way down and have some really interesting conversations with some, you know, big-time athletes in the sport that you play, or baseball or football, basketball, you name it. We've had some really interesting conversations, and it allows us to kind of talk about their journey. And your journey was unique. It's interesting. We had Joe Ward on the other day. He announced his retirement this week, and, you know, he didn't break into the league until he was 24 years of age. He was undrafted, and so his path was different. You were a first-round pick, and, you know, you had to remain patient, and your journey was different than a lot of first-round picks, and it took a while. What was that journey like for you? I mean, we've had people tell us, you know, they contemplated, is it time to move on? I mean, everybody's got their own story. So if you don't mind, we'd kind of love to go back and hear your journey to, you know, the point where you finally broke through and you were a staple on this roster. But what was it like trying to remain patient as a first-round pick?
Yeah, I think patience in general is a very strong topic in the times that we're in right now. So I would love to say that I dealt with it extremely well and, you know, by the book how it probably should have been done. But it wasn't quite the case for me. You know, I had three great years in Milwaukee hockey-wise. You know, personally, I was right in the heat of you know, addiction and alcoholism, so I don't think patience and things out of my control were a strong suit. So yeah, it took some time. You know, when I finally did break through, what would that have been, 15-16? You know, my first full year, you know, It wasn't quite perfect. You know, I'd been a first round pick, and you know, I'd worked on my game, kind of honed my craft, and you know, finally gotten that opportunity. But you know, things in my personal life weren't all that great at the time either. So that first year kind of was a struggle as well. You know, some peaks and valleys, definitely. You know, from finally cracking the roster out of camp to you know, getting to about the halfway point of the season and really not having cemented myself as a, you know, as a regular day in, day out player. So, you know, that first year, you know, looking back on it, was difficult at times, but, you know, it gives you some perspective and it helps you kind of, for me anyway, shaped the way that that I needed to go about things. And you know, really the overall attention to kind of living the right way to be able to perform, you know, at the highest level that I was capable of on a day-to-day basis was something I had to learn. And that first year, 15-16, really kind of you know, set me up to be tested in that area and kind of grow from it. And you know, fortunately, I was able to you know, learn from that and kind of kind of run with it after that. You know, going into that 16-17 season as well, it was no walk in the park. You know, from 15-16, I hadn't really set myself up for a whole lot of success, and you know, I ended up in Milwaukee about a week after you know, official training camp ended, and that was kind of a do or die, so to speak, moment for me. And you know, really, really grateful for you know, the people in my life that kind of helped me get through that, because that could have gone multiple ways. You know, but I ended up in Milwaukee, and I had a good attitude about it, and I was able to, you know, be back 2-3 weeks maybe after going to Milwaukee. And you know, that all those experiences you talk about, you know, having Joel Ward on, and I think everybody kind of has their own story, and they're all different, but they have a lot of similarities. And you know, there's tests, and there's kind of moments of adversity throughout everybody's experience, whether it's in pro sports or whether it's in whatever career path you're taking. And you know, I kind of think that a lot of the similarity is you know, being able to not just overcome that adversity, but be able to take from it what I needed to. And you know, a lot of it for me was getting you know, getting right with my personal life. And when things are good away from the rink, and when things are going well up in between my ears, and the way I'm doing things away from the rink, you know, the hockey kind of takes care of itself. And you know, been blessed with 4 great years after that, and hopefully many more good ones to come. Sorry if I went a little
quite a journey
deep on you
for sure,
there.
Austin Watson.
No, that was great.
No, that's all right. This is exactly, I think, what we've all been doing, Austin, during this time, doing a lot of reflecting while we have life slowed down a little bit here. And you mentioned something, you know, during that time in Milwaukee where you're honing your skills, and yet, as you just kind of referred to, you were struggling some personally. As you look back, you know, now that you've been in recovery for a while now, what do you think you've learned about yourself? You know, as you look back on the 20, you know, 22, 23-year-old Austin Watson?
That's a great question, Willie. I think, you know, a lot of it for me came down to, you know, not getting so wrapped up in things that I thought I controlled. You know, it was so easy during that time, you know, when you're 21, 22 years old, to think, you know, if I do this, this should be happening. You know, I scored, you know, 20, 22, 25, 26 goals, something like that, and in 3 consecutive seasons. And for whatever reason, things didn't seem to be going the way that I thought they should be going. You know, I hadn't got this opportunity, and you know, as a young player, for me, it was very easy to feel like I was, you know, being looked over, or that, you know, somebody, whoever it was, had it out for me, didn't like my game, didn't like this. And it was, you know, it was always kind of somebody else's fault, you know, and really looking back on it and being able to grow from it, you know, it's somebody's fault. Sometimes things just don't work out the way that I think they're supposed to for Austin. And, you know, being able to kind of accept that and, you know, put in the work and leave the results, you know, up to whether you're a spiritual person, leave the results up to God, or leave the results up to the universe, whatever you believe in, and whatever, you know, kind of sets the tone for your life, really kind of being able to look at that and just take the action and let the things work out the way that they are supposed to, not in my view, but in the way that it was really supposed to work out. And you know, being able to reflect and look back on it now, I'm grateful for the growth that I had to go through, and things I had to, you know, overcome, not really so much outside of myself, but really, like I kind of talked about, between the ears. And you know, that was such a big thing for me at the time, just, trying to control and manipulate the situation to where I could put myself in a position to, you know, get where I thought I needed to be at the time. And sometimes a lot of times I don't know what's best for me. People a lot smarter and with a lot more experience in hockey and life often know a whole lot more than I do. And, you know, for whatever reason, it worked out the way that it did. And, you know, I'm in a better position today, both career-wise and life-wise, because of that. So, you know, I think that was probably one of the biggest struggles for me, just the control aspect of things and having to kind of grow with that. And, you know, now we're here today, and, you know, things are looking good.
Well said. Let's go even further back, Austin. I've asked a lot of athletes that we've had on here these last few weeks this question, but who helped with the sport of hockey as a kid? What got you into it? Because, you know, Ann Arbor, Michigan is a great hockey area, but it's also a great football area. There's plenty of other sports that go on up there. It's not like maybe the heart of Canada where it's almost assumed that you're going to be exposed to hockey. So what was your story?
Yeah, I didn't really – I wasn't playing hockey up until about 6 or 7 years old. Actually, kind of like what you mentioned with all the other sports, I went to – my mom had me in an all-sports camp, probably to get me out of her hair for the week. And, you know, each day presented a different sport. So we'd play soccer the one day and basketball the next, and hockey. We didn't really play hockey. We just went for free skate. But I had known how to skate. My grandparents lived on a lake when I was, through, you know, all my kind of early adolescent years. And I knew how to skate. And one of the instructors or camp counselors was like, man, like, you know how to skate. And I guess talked to my mother afterwards and said, you should really think about getting this guy into hockey. And that's how I got into the game. You know, I was always a huge Red Wings fan growing up, and you know, hockey was all around us, but I hadn't played up until that point. And you know, from there, I fell in love with the game.
We're talking to Austin Watson, Nashville Predators forward, and so on those lines, who was somebody with the Predators when you first got up here in Nashville that you kind of leaned on to help you in the transition?
Yeah, so Ryan Ellis and I played together in Windsor in junior hockey, and we lived together for my second year there, which turned into a half year because I got traded halfway through that year. But Ryan had been drafted to the Predators the year prior, and then I got drafted to the Predators. So kind of along our whole journey, he was always a step or two ahead of me. So he had kind of cemented himself here in Nashville when I finally kind of broke through, was able to get here. So he's a guy that, and to this day, that you know, we all know, you guys all know, he's extremely, extremely gifted and incredible player in our league, but also you know, a really good pro, and just, you know, he does live and breathe the game, and he does things the right way, and he's a guy that has perspective on a lot of different situations that I leaned on early in my career, and I continue to lean on, you know, as my career kind of evolves. He's been a huge help for me, just as a player, because, you know, you're around different people all day, every day, and to have somebody that, you know, I have a really close personal relationship outside of the game as well, that probably knows a lot of things about me that maybe I hope other people don't know, and you know, kind of helps me to gain different perspectives on what's going on. So early in my career, now probably as my career evolves, he'll be a guy that and is a guy that I definitely lean on for all kinds of things, advice, and just, you know, example really too on just different situations. So he's a guy that I definitely lean on for sure.
Austin, as you've kind of sat here and reflected, and, you know, I know you've spent a lot of time with Livy, your daughter, and, you know, have you thought about some things about hockey and about Bridgestone Arena and Nashville specifically that you've missed that you didn't really think about before? Maybe like doing a post-game interview with me. I know you have to miss that, but maybe some things that, you've just haven't really thought about before that you're missing all of a sudden.
Yeah, well, the first thing that came to mind was post-game interviews with you.
I
missed that,
immediately.
So that was number one.
Checks in the mail, bud.
Good job. We can't see your nose growing. Good job.
Oh, yeah. I got you. Yeah, absolutely. There are so many things that, as players, and, you know, I can only speak from my experience, but just things that I could take for granted. One of the big things, just coming to the rink on game days, you know, getting to walk through and see all the familiar faces, not players and coaches, but staff, you know, seeing Jim and Warren and Kenny, getting a big hug from Miss Georgia as right before we walk into the rink, you know, things that you take for granted, those personal relationships, those you know, kind of behind the scenes things that don't always get a whole lot of notoriety or you know, press, but you know, but at the same time, it's a huge part of our day and my day. You know, I'm there at the rink at 3:45 before a hockey game, and you know, I probably have four or five conversations before just even getting into the locker room. And, you know, those little things like that you definitely take for granted, but, you know, that I miss during this time. And, you know, obviously it's a tough time for everybody, and there's different everybody's in different circumstances. But, you know, that normalcy of the workday and that comfort level of, you know, kind of seeing familiar faces on a day-to-day basis. Definitely little things like that I don't always think about during the season, but I definitely miss, you know, when I'm not able to be at the rink.
Let's end with this. I know you've been told this before in the past, but let's just go on and tell you again. We appreciate the fact that you're a guy over all these years that we've always been able to talk to you in the good and the bad. And let me just say this, it's easy to talk in the good. Anybody can do that. But when things aren't going your way, right? Adversity, which we all go through in life, but in this case we're talking about you playing a sport, you're still willing to stand up there and talk about it. And I can't tell you, we're not the only three that appreciate that. I can promise you that. There's a lot of people that are in that room covering that team that appreciate the fact that you've been that guy consistently since you've been here, the guy that'll stand up and talk in good times, which everybody wants to do, and in bad times. And so I just wanted you to hear that again. So thanks for doing that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And, you know, I am definitely looking forward to more conversations with you guys, hopefully about some upcoming games here whenever we do get going. But, yeah, I hope you guys are all staying safe and healthy, and hopefully we can get back at her here pretty soon.
Sounds good. Same back to you and the family. Stay safe, and we look forward to seeing you hopefully sooner rather than later. Austin, thanks for doing this.
All right, guys. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. That is Predators forward Austin Watson here on Darren Donick and Chase. We'll come back with more here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Barrett Salee coming up at high noon. Elliot Freeman from Sportsnet at 1 o'clock. Do you own or manage a small business? Are you open? You want to let people know about your small business? Well, Free Business Friday is coming up here on 102.5 The Game, and maybe that's for you starting tomorrow. That's right. Offering free advertising to local businesses that are safely open and working. This is a no-cost, no-catch offer for you. You can visit our website, thegamenashville.com/FBF for more information. Free Business Friday is our way of supporting small businesses as we all get through this together. If you own a small business and you are open, you should definitely check that out. Really appreciate Austin Watson for joining us during that interview, and it was a nice, long interview that he went into a lot of things that we certainly appreciate. But towards the end, there was something that happened that I think we need to investigate on what exactly did happen. And here's the audio if you didn't hear it.
Early in my career, now probably as my career evolves, he'll be a guy that...
What was that? Who was that?
Yeah, it wasn't me.
That was Stanley.
I heard it too. Ah, Stanley.
Stanley, of course.
It was Stanley.
Of course it was Stanley.
What did Stanley do? Did he knock the
mic over? What did he do now?
Well, we got an open window in the home studio here, which has become extremely popular. It's a great theater. I thought at first he just wanted to listen to the show, but apparently he really enjoys checking out the action out the window. You know, the birds, you know, the cars going by, people walking, the dogs out there.
Well, stimulation.
And, yeah, so he can now leap up there, but I don't even know what he... I'm still trying to figure out what the heck he knocked over.
It sounded like a bucket. That's what I thought it was.
I thought it was your mic.
A bucket. Let's hear it again. Marquise,
let's hear the replay.
Early in my career, now probably as my career evolves, he'll be a guy that...
What is that?
Well, whatever
that came
it was,
loud and clear.
It had a long anticipation, too, because it started to fall, and then that's when the bump happened.
I thought, honestly, one of you was sitting on a bucket and you fell over.
I meant to go look and see what that was. Hang on. You guys talk for a minute. I'm going to investigate. I got to figure out what
Willie
fell.
Is on the case. Usually Chase is on the case, but apparently Willie is. So
We should have known it was Stanley.
Yeah, that's true.
I've got to be honest. If I'm going to point fingers, I thought it was either going to be Stanley or Sawyer. It was going to be one of the S-Pets.
One of them usually is causing trouble.
When in doubt, usually go with Sawyer or Stanley.
I did find I was going through old pictures last night, and I sent you guys a couple.
You did.
I was looking for, you know, this is what always happens. You're looking for one, like, oh, I know I have a picture of this or someone. But you go down a rabbit hole when you start looking through pictures because you can't stop. Like, oh, yeah, I remember that. Oh, I remember that. And I found one of Sawyer when he was a puppy, the basically 2-day period that he could fit in the kitchen sink, and I gave him a bath. I mean, he was tiny and fit, and now he's huge. But he was able to sit in the sink, and I was able to give him a bath, and I just saw that, and I go, well, that didn't last long. It was 3 years ago.
I meant what I said there at the end. Austin Watson, I know a lot of people out there who are listening to this, they could care less, and I get it. There's no reason for you to care, but if you like hearing from players, you should care maybe a little bit, because it is easy for a coach or a player in any sport to get up and talk when things are great, right? Like, how easy is that? I mean, we've dealt with – everybody wants to talk when things are great, but when things are not great, that's what I'm always curious to see when it comes to coaches and players. Who's willing to stand up there and talk when things aren't great? You know, it's just part of it. There's no such thing as an 82-0 team. It's in hockey. It's not going to happen. Okay, you're going to lose games. You're going to go through bad patches. It's a long season. Rarely do you not go. I mean, every once in a while you get a Tampa Bay Lightning regular season, right? I mean, the Predators, for the most part, coasted a couple years ago with the President's Cup. There have been some teams that have coasted through the regular season where they just dominated and they really didn't have a rough patch. But overall, you know, teams, even really good teams, go through rough patches. Who are the players that stand up and talk, or coaches that are willing to talk during rough patches? Because that's what always tells me a true indicator of somebody. And not everybody handles that so well. A lot of people run and hide in rough patches. They can be found when things are good. They're right there. They're willing to talk to anybody and everybody. But it's amazing. They're hard to find when things aren't going so well.
Yep.
To be honest, I don't have a lot of respect for players or coaches who are like that, because, like I said, it's real easy when things are great to talk. But I want to know who's going to stand up there and address a situation when nobody really wants to, right? When it's kind of uncomfortable. And, you know, players and coaches should. It's part of the job. It just comes with the territory. Baseball, there's no team that's ever gone 162-0. Basketball, there's no 82-0 season. We've had a Chicago team and a Golden State team that made it look easy in the regular season. But for the most part, you know, you're going to have a lot of losses. And so it's just silly. Football is the only short sport where, you know, you could have special seasons. But, you know, I'm amazed at the players and coaches who don't want to talk after losses. And it's like, what? Did you not think you were going to lose this year? So what? You're just going to come up for air whenever things are good? So I've always appreciated that about Austin because he's always been one of those go-to guys.
And I'm with you because, you know, a lot of times I'm the one in the locker room after those games.
I was going to say, you guys notice it more than anybody because you guys are down there every game, right?
And yeah, but Willie, you can appreciate it because you had to do second period intermission. And this just in, after 40 minutes of play, the Predators are not always winning.
That's right.
Okay, this just in.
Look, this year.
If you do 41 home games and playoffs in just one season, and you go down every home game after 40 minutes, they're not always winning. And sometimes
close
to winning.
How about this particular year? And I know Chase is thinking the same thing. For whatever reason, you know, some years are different than others, but this particular year, the second period in particular, has been particularly troublesome for the Predators. And so there have been a lot of rough second periods.
Yeah, and so you know what that's like, and this just in. And there's that is during, you know, that's during the game. It's one thing, you know, a morning skate or after game and a post game, you know, you can get, it's a little bit different, but we're talking about in game. Something bad may have happened right at the end of the period. And so, you know, it could leave most in a pretty salty mood, and that's not fun. But Austin is always one of those guys, even if they were down 4-0, Austin is willing to come in there and sit down with me and have a conversation after 40 minutes, even if they're down 4-0, which, you know, this just in. It's not fun for me either, and it wasn't fun for you. And when Chase has had to fill in, it's not fun for him either doing that job. I hope everybody understands that. You know, players, it's not fun for us either, but I've got a job to do. You had a job to do. Chase, when you're filling in, you've got a job to do, just like the players. And
post-game's the same way.
A couple minutes, a minute and a half to 2 minutes, and we just talk about what's going on, and everybody can resume normal activities. The way I look at it, it's not that hard. I get it. Yep. It's uncomfortable, but Austin is one of those guys that always would do it. And at times I felt bad because, you know, I didn't think that he should have to do as much, but he was always willing to do it. It didn't bother him, and I always appreciated that about him.
Yeah, and I miss he's one of those guys that you can just sit there and talk to, you know, off the mic. And, you know, he'll tell you stories about Livy, his daughter, and just things going on. And so that's – and there are a lot of those guys. It's not just Austin. I mean, that you have –
sure.
Conversations with, but he's the jokester too, that if you're wearing something, you know, he'll point it out, like what was that about, or what are you doing there, or so, you know, it's just, and those are the little things that we miss. That's a fun part of what we get to do.
All right, I've completed the investigation.
All right, that's where we're going.
We've come to a conclusion.
Do you want to hear what Rusty tweeted
us? So,
before you tell us the details?
I saw it. I saw what Rusty wrote. And then, read that first.
He said it almost sounded like the same sound when George Costanza left the briefcase with the tape recorder in the boardroom. So your findings, what do we have?
It did sound like it could have been a tape recorder. All right, let's play the clip one more time, Marquise. Do you have it?
Early in my career, now... probably as my career evolves, he'll be a guy that...
I still think it sounds like a bucket falling over.
It does.
Like one of those
picture this.
Plastic buckets. Go ahead.
All right, I'll tweet out a picture of what we're talking about here. But behind me, where I'm sitting at a table, so my back is to this window, but there's an open window where Stanley sits on the windowsill, but he's got to jump up my cat. He's got to jump on the sofa up to get to this windowsill. So it's kind of a long leap. He's got to brace himself. He's got to leap. But on the way back down, he was jumping off the windowsill, back to the sofa, across the table, and then out the door. But on the way, he clipped a painting that was hanging between the window and the sofa. So he knocked the painting off the nail, and it went crashing down to the floor. And it went behind the couch. So when I turned around, I didn't notice. I was looking for like a rock or a, you know, I was like, what is that? It sounded like a rock falling, but it was the picture frame.
Did you hear?
But it was behind the couch, so I couldn't see where it was. It wasn't lying on the floor.
Live action. Did you hear it or did you not hear it?
Oh, I heard it. I was cringing.
Okay.
Because we were in a great discussion with Austin. Yeah. You know, I'm glad he didn't break stride because. You know, he honestly, that was another interview that I think we've all been sitting here going, wow, we've had some amazing interviews during this time. He was very open, honest about everything that's gone on with him, and that was good stuff, and Stanley almost ruined it.
Stanley.
I wonder if he hung up the phone and was like, what was that big loud bang during the interview? What was that? Hope everybody's okay.
You need to investigate.
Yeah.
So did he break it?
Nope, it's still in one piece.
Okay. Stanley has become quite the little troublemaker during this.
Oh, he is a big
this
time.
Quarantine time for sure. When you were addressing the situation, I admitted on air and to Chase that my suspicion was it was one of the S pets. It was either Sawyer or Stanley, and I was right. Just wasn't sure which one. Sawyer can knock over a lot of things because he's a big, huge monster dog.
Yeah, he does it all the time.
Yeah. He's kind of that bull in the china shop.
Kind of like me.
All right, we will come back and wrap up hour number two. By the way, Barrett Salee coming up at noon. More of Darren Donick and Chase next. A big congrats to Steve Forbes. 130 wins in 5 seasons at ETSU. He is going to be the new head coach at Wake Forest. So congratulations to Coach Forbes. Hopefully we can get him on here soon to congratulate him and tell him great job. And I'm just telling you right now, if there would have been an NCAA tournament, they would have been one of my upset special teams for sure. I probably would have had him in the Sweet 16, ETSU. They were a good team.
We talked to him right before –
Right before everything was going to get shut down, the day before.
Yeah, and he was feeling good about his
season. It was a Wednesday. It was a Wednesday because
we were at Walmart.
Yeah, Wednesday and Thursday is when everything shut down.
Kroger or what? Yeah,
it was Kroger.
Yep, that's right. I remember that. Yeah,
Kroger in Franklin on Highway 96.
Yep. So we were there. Willie was on the road, and that's when, because I remember that day of you and I. That's when we were starting to kind of shift our thought process, like, huh, this is getting real, like stuff there, because I think San Jose had already said they weren't going to play in front of fans.
Golden State had already said that they were not going. The Warriors were the first team to come out and say our Thursday game will not be in front of fans.
Yeah, because you and I were saying, huh, could we be working Preds games without fans? Could that actually
right, because they had Columbus coming up, remember, on that Saturday.
Yeah. Yep. In the Blue Columbus, Jackets, we were supposed to go on the bus trip.
Right, correct. And initially it was, hey, they're playing the Penguins on Thursday and the Predators on Saturday and Nationwide Arena is, sorry, we're business as usual. Then they came out and said, yeah, no, actually we're not going to play in front of fans. So Thursday and Saturday we will not have fans there. So that then we were kind of bracing for that, like, wow, what's that going to be like? There's not going to be fans in Columbus to see the Blue Jackets and the Preds. And then, you know, once that was it Wednesday night?
Yeah.
Rudy Gobert? Right,
yeah, it was
out.
All that night.
It was supposed to be the Jazz and the Nuggets. Is that right? Or Oklahoma City? Was it Oklahoma City?
Yeah, because I think I was doing Smashville Live when all that came down.
That is true. That is correct, because I was Maddox was taking a hitting lesson way down south of us, and I was listening. Yes, that is correct. And Rudy Gobert, I think it was Oklahoma. Marquise, was it Oklahoma City?
Yeah, it was
Utah?
Oklahoma City versus Utah, yes.
Yeah, in Oklahoma City, and they're wondering where. In fact, you could even see a couple. In fact, I saw Chris Paul. I've seen the audio. Chris Paul's like, where's Gobert? You know, they were wondering, you know, where's your star player? And this was before they had announced anything. And they're out there warming up, and he's nowhere to be found. And you could see players mouthing, where's Gobert? And then once that came out that he had tested positive, and so that was it for the NBA, and then you just knew right then that was it. That's what floored us about, you know, what took place Thursday morning. And boy, did we have a great conversation about the first half of the tournament at Madison Square Garden with Tim Brando, right? What that was like.
Yeah.
Calling a game that was then canceled at halftime, because you just knew at that point when the NBA shut down their league, everything. I knew right then, I was like, the Predators are not going to play the Maple Leafs on Thursday. It's not happening. That's it. Everything.
But you guys remember this. And you guys may have seen this. I think we were about to talk about this yesterday. The Real Sports with Brian Gumbel.
Yes.
Did a timeline of that. Right, they did a really good retrospective, and they actually talked to some doctors who were, unbeknownst to me, I'll be the first guy, I'll be honest about it. I was following the story about coronavirus, but my perspective was way off based on what we know now, right? And I think I'm not alone. I think all of us, until Rudy Gobert tested positive,
that's when it
we're
changed.
Not really seeing what was going on out there, right? But there were certainly doctors and certainly health experts saying, hey, seriously, guys, you need to not have sporting events, right? And they go back through this retrospective, and the main part they looked at in the Brian Gumbel show was the Bay Area in San Francisco, where, yeah, I think there were 3 Sharks games, a couple of Warriors games, you know, yep. All the Pac-12 stuff was going on. And
don't forget the soccer games.
The soccer game they showed, the MLS, yeah. But I can think back to where I was during that time. I wasn't thinking anything of it. You know, not nearly like I was until after Rudy Gobert, right? And so once that happened, everything changed. And you do wonder if it had been a few more days until somebody in one of the major sports tested positive, how long would they have pushed it, right? It kind of lays blame on the sporting world for not shutting it down earlier.
One thing I didn't know until I saw that piece on Real Sports, and I never saw this anywhere. How about the Warriors putting up a sign before you come into the game? Signs, excuse me. Basically at every entrance. Yeah, if you come to tonight's game, you know, and you assume risk, we're not responsible. Yeah. And it's like, what?
Okay.
How did that not get out? How did that not become a story? That was probably on what, like a Tuesday night?
Yeah, because, I mean, I think the Gobert thing happened on Wednesday. So.
Maybe it was probably that over the weekend or something. But leading up to that, the Warriors had put those signs on their arena entrances. You know, so you assume risk as the fans. You know, if you contract anything, you know, we're not responsible. It's like, wow, that was happening? Yeah, they really. By the way, how alarming was it to see like the soccer game in Italy in February, 50,000 people,
right?
In that piece.
But I mean, hindsight is 20/20. I guess the lesson to be learned is when the pandemic people say this is serious, we probably ought to listen a little bit earlier next time. Hopefully,
well,
there's not a next time
this.
Until another 50 or 100 years. But good grief.
If Rudy Gobert doesn't test positive, would anything have been shut down?
I don't think it would have. Not
so.
For a few more
either.
Days. Now, somebody was going to be the Rudy Gobert, right? Somebody was going to test positive eventually.
What if an athlete didn't, though? How long do you think this would have gone on?
Rudy Gobert put a face on everything. That's
right.
That's what changed. That all of a sudden, oh no, we're, you know, it, we as sports can be affected. And so I think that that changed a lot of it in everybody's mind. And it's a fair question, because I don't know. I think things probably would have been different if he didn't test positive.
Was it going to take an athlete testing positive for everything to shut down?
Yes, no question about it. But don't you think that anybody in a position of leadership would have been resistant, right, until that happened, until you put a face on it, right? Even though somebody was saying, this is maybe the lesson to be learned, but don't you think, like, wouldn't it matter if it was you or me, if you were the head of the SEC or the head of the NHL or NBA, I would have had a hard time shutting it down before that moment happened. But then once that moment happened, it was clear.
Willie,
right?
I don't think the proof is already
wrong?
There. No, the proof is already there. I don't even have to give my opinion. The proof is there to your question. You really weren't doing the shows much that week because you were on the road. Chase knows. Every day. NASCAR's coming out like, hey, yeah, we're everything's good. We're good.
Everything's fine.
We're running. We're going to be at Homestead. We'll be in Atlanta. Where was the two races? Atlanta, Homestead,
yep.
Right? We'll be racing. We're good. Everybody was like, we're good. It was until that happened, and that's when it was like, okay, here we go. Game off. But early on that week, and really, the Ivy League is the only one. That's it. They were the only ones to come out. That's why it was such a big story. On Monday. And look, I've admitted it many times. I was like, you know, gosh, I don't know why.
Seems like an overreaction.
Yeah, I did not. I didn't understand it at the time. I'm like, yeah, wow, that's stupid. Man, come on.
But remember when we were, with the week before, when the team, the Predators were home, I was in the studio. We had Adam Vingan on, and he called to our attention the fact that Italy had officially shut down all sporting events for the month of April, I think, right, or through the month of April. This was the beginning of March, the very beginning of March. And somebody wrote an article that the NCAA basketball tournament should be played with no fans. And we all looked around going, that is crazy. There's no way that that's happening. I mean, I will never forget that day, because it was probably at a week or week and a half before we got to March 11th, which was that was the Rudy Gobert day. But how clueless, I guess, we all were.
No doubt.
Is that fair to say? We were clueless.
Yep. There's no doubt. It was a crazy ride, but that week, they were still saying. I mean, I just gave out many examples. Blue Jackets are like, yeah, we got what the governor said. Thank you, Governor of Ohio. Thank you. But, yeah, we're going to keep we're going to be just fine. Our fans are going to be here Thursday night versus the Penguins.
We good.
So, thanks. And they'll be here Saturday, too, against the Preds. So, but thank you, Governor. And then it was like, it's like we get off the air, and it's like the next day they've completely changed course. It's like, in fact, I probably even said this on the air. Do we think somebody got a private call? Do you think somebody maybe picked up the phone and called the Blue Jackets and said, yeah, we need you to listen to the governor, okay? We need you guys to change course. Because
what was interesting, too, is it went from there was not a phase of actually playing games with no fans, which is what the first thing some of the experts were saying we should do. Let's eliminate the large gatherings.
Right, you know, we never really saw it. Yep.
Instead of shutting it down completely, which is what happened instantly when Rudy Gobert tested positive.
That's correct.
I wonder what that would have been like if Rudy Gobert had not tested positive and we went into a phase that briefly was going to be what happened, right? You were going to play with no fans for however long.
We never got a chance to see it. We were going to see it that Thursday night with the Warriors playing a home game, because they had already announced that that was not going to be in front of fans, but we never got there. We never got that far. Everything had been shut down by then. We'll come back. We'll start hour number three with Barrett Salee. He's the college football writer for CBS Sports. We're going to get into a lot of things with him, including yesterday's news. Where is this going? with athletes. Are they going to finally be able to put some money in their pocket when they're a student athlete? We'll get into all that and more with Barrett Salee next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.